what the devils gave out falsely of the magic, the lifetime of Salman. Salman did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved, teaching men magic and such a thing that came down at Babylon to the two angels, Harut and Marut. But neither of these two angels taught anyone such a thing, till they had said, "We are only for a trial." So disbelieve not by learning this magic from us. And from these angels, people learn that by which they cause separation between man and his wife. But they could not thus harm anyone except by Allah's leave. And they say, and they learn that which harmed them and profits them not. And indeed, they knew that the buyers of it, means the magic, would have no share in the hereafter. And how bad indeed was that for which they sold their own selves, if they but knew. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us that whosoever learneth this magic, that he has nothing in the hereafter. Okay? That no reward, no share of the blessings. Okay? So whosoever his magic by using the shayateen, this person is committing shirk and kufr. And whosoever using chemicals and medicines is a transgression, so his disobedience, he is disobedience, he is not a kafir. So now, as the penalty for the magician, the sahir, if his magic came to be a kufr, classified as shirk, so he will be killed because he apostated, he turned away from Islam. Because he learned magic, he practiced magic, and he was not supposed to do these things. He had used the shayateen, okay? Except if he make tawbah, repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which some of the scholars said, and the Sheikh adopt this opinion, and he said, "Wa huwa sahih." But if his magic is not a form of shirk, he also, the penalty is still the same, but he will be killed as a person who's causing transgression against the human being. Okay? He will be killed to stop his evil, not he'll be killed as a kafir. Alright? So, still a person who practicing magic, if there is Islamic government and if there is Islamic state, they will execute the magician. Now, is he a kafir or no? Is he dying kafir or no? We say if he's a person who's doing this by using the shayateen, so his penalty and his death is going to be ridda, he apostates from Islam, he die as a kafir. But if he's not using the shayateen, he's using chemicals, still he will be killed, but he be killed because he is a person who harming the human being. So this matter will be rendered and referred and left up to the Muslim ruler, the Khalifa or the Imam of the Islamic State. He will be the one that determine what kind of punishment this person get, okay, if he's going to make tawbah first or no, or if he's going to be executed, and the execution is going to be for kufr or for zulm and transgression. The bottom line is that magic has effect on the people and doesn't affect and it changes the reality of things, because no one can change reality of things except Allah. Nobody can make a stick moving except Allah turn it to snake. Nobody going to make you understand the cat turn to a monkey or turn to an elephant, okay, except Allah. But you, the person who been affected by the magic, it will be seen to you that the stick is turning to snake, but the stick still is stick, it didn't turn. So there is effect on the magic, but will be in the personality, in the eyesight of the person that the magic been put on him. Okay, he may see the table that I'm sitting behind it, he will see it like a car moving and it's coming against him and will scream and run away. This is what he see, but the table is still sitting in the same place and is still a table. The other person who's not been affected by the magic, he sees the table. But the person that the magic been done against him will see the table that is a car about to run him over and he'll be screaming and running. So the sheikh say, for sure there is impact and there is effect of the magic on the person, but is not turning the reality of things, but is going to be imagination. And this thing what had happened actually to the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Okay? When the magician they throw the sticks, and Moses start to see it, because what they did from their magic, okay, now Moses start to see it to be snakes and moving, okay, because the magic they had did, but the sticks is still sitting, is not moving and still sticks. Somebody may ask, what is the relationship between chapter related to magic and discussing Tawheed? And why Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahmatullah alayhi bringing this issue in the Kitab al-Tawheed? Sheikh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, a big portion of magic doesn't come except through shirk, through humiliation of the person to the shayateen, and for the shayateen to utilize him, and he became a servant for the shayateen and obeying the shayateen, okay, and after this the shaitan will assist him in such magic. So the shaitan will deceive the people who try to learn magic, so the shaitan will be bleed from them by them worshipping the shaitan and obeying the shaitan, and now the person himself will be happy the shaitan gives him some abilities to make things, to imagine, the people will imagine that something happening. So he say he brought this issue in Kitab al-Tawheed because in many cases sihr and magic and sorcery doesn't come except through shirk, associating partner beside Allah, seeking help from other than Allah, and calling and serving other than Allah. After this, the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, he's giving explanation to the verses that came on the chapter, which in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 102, he said, وَالْقَدْ عَلِمُوا, for sure, they knew. Okay? That means those people who are learning the magic. Okay. اشتراهُ means those who learn it. ما له في الآخرة من خلاق, they have no share in the hereafter. That means he has no reward. Those people who learning magic and using magic, they knew that this will prevent them from entering Jannah, of getting the reward of Allah. Although they went about learning the shirk and learning the sorcery and the sihr and the magic. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that somebody ليس له في الآخرة من خلاق, that means no nasib, no share for him in the hereafter, that means whatever he's doing is wrong, it's haram, it's bad, it's falsehood. But what does it mean? He has no share in the hereafter. Totally or a portion? It depends who's doing the magic. He's using the shayateen or he's using chemicals. Using the shayateen, so you worship in other than Allah. So this, you have nothing in the hereafter. No reward, no jannah for you. A person who's doing it using chemicals, incense, dirt, whatever he's using, he losing a great reward as a result of harming people. Okay? The second verse that came in this chapter, this in Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa, and verse number 51. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ. That means Allah is talking about the Jewish. Okay, the Yahudi, they believing in Egypt. That means they believing in magic. And the Yahud, the Jewish, they used to be the most clever and the most people utilizing magic and practice magic. And they claim that Sulaiman, the Prophet Salman alayhi salam, had told them these things. And they transgress against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they put magic on the Prophet Muhammad. The Yahud, the Jewish, they cause sihr, sorcery to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they believe in magic and taghut, okay, things which worship instead of Allah. So this verse came to show you that their belief was in sihr, in sorcery, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing that this is something bad to be practiced or to believe in it or to be taught or to have anything to do with it. Umar explained Egypt to be a sihr and taghut a shaitan. And Jabir said a tawagheet, kohan, fortune teller, that the shayateen used to come down to them, and for each locality or each village there is a magician who specializes in this thing or fortune teller, and the shayateen will come utilizing him and he's utilizing the shayateen. So anything that worship instead of Allah, idols, statues, a sheikh, a scholar, a leader, anything, this will be taghut. Why called taghut? Because they transgress limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put a limit for the scholar, put a limit for the ruler, put a limit for everybody. So when the people make the people worship them knowingly, and they are pleased with this, they become a taghut because they have transgressed the limits which Allah had brought for them. So the scholars or the leaders who mislead the people, they are part of the taghut. Okay? After this, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, say, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. From this hadith, we see how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to advise his companions, and it shows you how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so concerned about his ummah. Anything which may harm the Muslims in their deen or in their dunya, in their livelihood or in their religion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to what? Warn them against it. As a result of this, it say, اجتنبوا. That means leave alone, stay away. That means stay the other side. If these things in one side, you go totally the opposite side. Leave it alone. And don't leave it alone and be close to it, but leave it and stay a distance from it. And the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? Leave السبع المبقات. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, save yourself from the seven destroyers. When the Prophet saying seven, does not mean there is nothing else other than this seven can be destroyers. Okay? So sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say seven or say three or five, but does not mean this is limited to this number. Okay? But he's giving you the types of such a thing, but it may come another hadith and tell you about another three things. It can be destruction, alright? Or it can be bad things that you need to stay away from it. Same thing like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying the other hadith, seven types of people whom Allah will shelter them in His shade in the day of judgment, which no shade in the day except His shade, does not mean only these seven people, can be another people also whom Allah will give them the same reward. But here it is not common for a limitation, but it's going to show you the type more than be limited to the number. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told his Sahaba, save yourself from the seven destroyers, the companions, may Allah be pleased with him, asked, O Messenger of Allah, what are those? قالوا يا رسول الله وما هن. Because the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to be very concerned about learning. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives them some information which is not clear, they will ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them more explanation and more tafsir. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns them against the seven destroyers to avoid it, so they ask. And this is, let us know that the Sahaba used to be very concerned about learning this deen. And the Sahaba did not leave anything in need to be asked or learned except they had asked. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered the Sahaba by saying, so the Sahaba, they said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what it is, tell us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to associate anything with Allah. So here, this is number one. قال الشرك بالله. Why did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم start with shirk? To associate partner beside Allah. To treat somebody equal to Allah. Or to believe that somebody is equal to Allah. Or to be worshipped or have the quality of Allah or anything like this. The shirk has different forms, okay? Because this is the worst kind of sin. To associate partner beside Allah is the worst type of sin that ever can be committed by the human being. How you can make a partner to Allah and He, Allah Almighty, is the one who has created you. And when He says shirk, to associate partner beside Allah in His uluhiyya or His rububiyya or His asma and sifat. Doesn't matter that you believe that somebody else can create or somebody else is a provider. This is a shirk in rububiyya. Or that you call in somebody or hope in somebody other than Allah, this is can be in shirk al-uluhiyya. Or that you what you call to attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something He didn't attribute to Himself, this will be a shirk in His asma and sifat. Or negating something Allah has affirmed to Himself, this will be also shirk. So here shirk in any form, alright, will be one serious matter, and this is the most serious thing that could not be forgiven. So if somebody associate partner beside Allah, he had engaged in something which he can cause destruction for his life, His being, His future in this life and in the hereafter. So if anybody believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with him there is other creator, or somebody believes that there is a helper beside Allah, this person is a mushrik, he's committing shirk. Or somebody believes that somebody other than Allah worthy of worship. Okay? Or that he actually did the form of belief to other than Allah, this also will be shirk. Or somebody believes that Allah has an equal in his ability, in his knowledge, in his wisdom, in his forgiveness, okay, this also will be shirk. Or if somebody believes that Allah established himself in the throne like the king or the president sit in the throne. So he will believe that Allah sits in the throne, but like we said, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended on the throne like one of us ascended in a throne. Alright? Because all the actions of Allah, nothing similar to it by the human being. Okay? So we confirm, we affirm all the attributes to Allah that He said about it without saying like us. Okay? Because this also will be another form of shirk. Or somebody believes that Allah comes to the lowest heaven like the way how we come from the second floor to the first floor. Okay? So you believe in the action of Allah, but you make it similar to our action. Or somebody believe Allah has a hand, but His hand is like our hand. This is shirk. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nisa, women, verse number 48, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive for somebody to associate partner beside him, and he forgive whatever other sin to whom he pleases. Okay? So the only sin that doesn't come under forgiveness is what? Shirk. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 72, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ. Indeed, whosoever associate partner beside Allah, indeed Allah made Jannah forbidden for him. And his dwelling place will be hellfire, and there is no refuge or helpers for the wrongdoers. Okay? So there is no shirk, there is no sin can be greatest than shirk. So the one who has created you and supplies you with all provision and made everything for you to be able to live and survive and function in this life, okay, you could not by any means or any ways make equal to him or partner to him. Can you imagine if somebody doing you a favor, and after this you go to somebody else and thank him? It doesn't make sense. And how this person feel, and how people going to view you? Somebody here going buy a house and sit putting you in, and after this you go to somebody who did not even contribute a dollar towards this house, and you tell him, thank you for it. Thank you. So, if this is not acceptable to the human being, okay, how this can be acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has created you, fashioned you, and did everything for you, and after this you go calling on the grave, or on a statue, or an idol, or seeking help in the shaitan, or seeking help in somebody else? How you can view this? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, save yourself from the seven destroyers. The companions radiallahu anhum asked, O Messenger of Allah, what are those? He said, to associate anything. You see, doesn't matter how great, how big, how small, nothing. To associate anything with Allah. Even the word, even uttering a word, the Prophet ﷺ saying, من حلف بغير الله فقد أشرك. Whosoever swear by other than Allah, he commit shirk. Because this is a form of honoring. Some people they swear by their mother grave. Some people swear by the Prophet. Some people swear by the Kaaba. You see? So the honor, total honor has to be given to Allah. And swearing, you could not swear by anyone except Allah. So the Prophet saying, whosoever swear by other than Allah, he commit shirk. So you could not commit a shirk in any form, not in a great measurement or a small measurement. So he's saying what? He said, O Messenger of Allah, what are those? He said, to associate any thing, you see the word anything with Allah. Sorcery, magic. The second thing is what? Sihr. To learn or to perform magic or to indulge in it by any means. And the generality here of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said sihr, magic, sorcery, doesn't matter if he using the shayateen or using incense and chemicals and things like this. Whatever type of magic that you're doing, this will be from the things that destroy the human being in this life and in the hereafter. A person who is not utilizing the shayateen and using other means like blood of a chicken with incense and writing person name and burn it and things like this, okay, to cause a harm somebody, okay, and make it turning him almost like an animal. He doesn't know what is halal and haram, and he will be doing wrong things, okay. For you to turn a human being to be like an animal, a human being is supposed to have a mind and sense and make a difference between what's halal and haram, what is wrong, what is right, okay, how it's supposed to behave, what not behave. When you throw this magic on a person, the person always lost his sense. Now he be acting like a person may take his clothes off and walk in the street. There is no shame, there is no haya, there is no even for him to think what he's doing. So for you to cause a person to do this and to be turning from a human being to state of animal, this is transgression. You see? So for you to do something like this, you are hurting a human being. As a result of this, sihr and magic and sorcery became immediately after the shirk to be a serious sin, comes immediately after shirk. Okay, the third thing or the thing that if a human being indulges in it will be a destruction for him, قتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. Without any just cause, killing a life, Allah has forbidden. Alright? This is number three that the Prophet ﷺ warned the Sahaba. To destroy, to make the soul perish. Okay? To make the soul coming out of the body. And we're talking about a human being. Okay? We're not talking about animals that Allah made it lawful for us to eat as a dumbbell. Okay? Or killing a wild animal that's about to attack you. And he say, which Allah had forbidden, Allah had make it secret. Okay? That means only with a right cause a human being can be killed. And Islam had explained to us what is the just and the right cause. Number one, the types of people. And the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he gave number one, the soul of the believer. Number two, al-zimmi. Number four, number three, al-mu'ahid. And number four, al-musta'min. As for the believers, okay, his Islam, his deen, make his soul secret. You could not transgress against it except with another just cause. We're going to explain it. As for a zimmi or a mu'ahid or a musta'man, a zimmi that a person that we have like a pledge or a treaty between us and him. That means he will live under the Islamic government with condition of paying the jizya, the tax. As the person is mu'ahid, the other type of person, that a person he'll be living in the country and we have a promise between us or agreement between us and him that he don't fight us, we don't fight him, okay? In certain time that the ruler, his army, the Muslim ruler, his army is not strong enough to invade or to take over such a country. So he will make an agreement with this country. Alright, that you people make agreement with us, you don't fight us, we don't fight you. for 5 years, for 10 years, whatever it is, agreement they reach. So this person is mu'ahid. Between, although he's not a Muslim, he's not paying a jizya, but there is a treaty between us and him, okay, that he doesn't fight against us, neither will fight against him, okay? So you could not go also and attack this person. As for the person, المستأمن, that we have no treaty between us and him, no promise, but we give him a salmon or whatever you call it, a security for a period of time, like his ambassador as example of a country. So he wants to come to present a treaty or present a business deal with our government. So we give him 7 days to enter the country and do his business, okay, whatever it is, okay? So during this week that you give him, nobody can attack him. So all these people that have a man or ahd or the paying jizya is forbidden to kill this soul. Although this soul is not a believing soul, but there is a treaty, there is agreement, there is a promise, and the Muslims have to keep his promise. Okay? Now, for the believer, the first case we said that the souls are four. A believer, and after this, the person that we have, he paying jizya from the kuffar or non-Muslims, a person paying jizya, a person have a treaty between us, no fighting, and a person that they are against us, but we give them a certain time to enter and leave for business, whatever it is. But as for the believers, now there is another condition. When a believer can get killed, if he been married, or he is married, doesn't matter, male or female, and they commit illegal intercourse, this person will be killed. So if a person is not married, but he was married, he still, if he commit illegal intercourse, to be killed. Alright? Because he already been married. The second person, a nafs bin nafs, a person kill a soul, he's supposed to be killed. Okay? He killed an innocent soul, intentionally, he's supposed to be killed. The third person, a person, a tariq lidino, a person who changed his religion from Islam to a different religion. Okay? That he born Muslim, or that he was not Muslim and he accepted Islam. If later on changing his religion to another religion, to abstain and leave the deen of Islam, to be killed. Although these people are lawful to be killed Islamically, but it's not to you or to me or anybody to go and say, okay, I saw this person coming of nightclub, I'm going to shoot him. Alright? Or this person, you understand, he stopped coming to Jum'ah, he's not a Muslim anymore, I go and kill him. Alright? Or this person who attacked so and so, and I saw him actually killing a person, so I go run to my house, get my gun and shoot him. No. This capital punishment to be done by the head of the Islamic State or the people that he put them in charge to do this. Not in individual case, a person will take the law in his hand. Otherwise, it will be a qiyas in all over the town or the city, everybody doing, you understand, carrying the capital punishment. Lashing, cutting hands, stoning, killing, all the things not to be done except by the order of the Muslim judge, which is there. Ruler, the Muslim ruler had bought him, and he's the one he will issue the decree for this person to be killed or his hand to cut, and he have a designated people to do this job, not for anybody to be doing. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, taking interest, usury. So taking interest, usury is one of the haram forbidden things, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Save yourself from the seven destroyers. And especially about riba, we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us. And he's saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Oh, you believe? Leave this interest. Use the business. Stay away from it. Period. If you are a true believer. Okay? And after this Allah said what? If you did not stop dealing with interest, so be ready for a war between you and Allah and His Messenger. So we can imagine here how this one of the things that be destruction for a Muslim to get involved in it. Because a person who is dealing with interest, he is in a war between him and Allah and His Messenger. How he can be successful? Some people go buying houses with riba, buying cars with riba, and the latest thing that I hear some people purchasing masjid and Islamic centers through banks and buy riba. Wallahi, I hear this. And this was a surprising thing. This is the last thing I ever thought I'm going to hear it in America. People buying property through the bank with interest to have a mosque. Allah didn't ask you to go in haram to make salah. You can go and pray in your backyard. You don't need even a musalla. You can pray on the grass. Okay? But this is what's happening now. And the Sheikh said a riba comes from the word increasing. Okay? Increasing. In something, anything increasing, this is called riba. Because it grows more than the original of it. According to the Sharia, the Islamic law, that a treaty or agreement, a bargain between two people, that you will get more than what you're supposed to get in something which is supposed to be equal, or because time involved. Okay? And the things that, like gold, silver, barley, date, okay, salt, this is the thing that you could not get more for the equal amount. Neither you can sell it, okay, for a lesser price. That means if you given me 1 gram of gold, you exchange it for 1 gram of gold. You could not give me 1 gram of gold buying 2 grams of gold. Okay? Same thing for silver. You could not give me 1 cup full with dates for getting 2 cups of the other dates. Okay? So now you have the equality in the type, but you have what increase in the quantity that you're getting. This is became riba. Alright? Or that you take 1 cup of barley, okay, and I pay you an equal amount but later. Okay, so 1 cup to 1 cup. But if it's milk as example, this is different. I say, okay, I give you 1 cup of milk, goat milk, you give me 2 cups of camel milk. Fine. Okay? Why? Milk is not from the things that under the list of usury. Okay? The list of usury is 7 types. Gold, silver, salt, barley, dates. Okay? This is the thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what the people dealing with each other money, okay, this has the equivalent of the gold. So actually when we're dealing, dollar to dollar, or dollar for $2, okay, you are exchanging gold by gold. So I'm taking $1 for $2. You have to give me $1 for $1. Or he said, okay, I give you one American dollar for one England dollar. So it's been one by one, but I'll pay you in a week later. No, it have been dollar to dollar, and in the same time, in the same spot. You see, dollar to a dollar. They have to match because this is gold, and they have to be on the spot. You could not delete it for another time. Say, okay, well, I'm not going to take dollar for $2, dollar for a dollar, but can I pay you tomorrow? He said, no, this is usury also. So how to be proper dealing? I take $1, you give me $1, and we do it on the spot. I give you 1 cup of dates or barley for 1 cup of this barley on the same spot. So dealing with usury, it has different ways and different forms, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that if the types is different, like somebody selling flour for oil, now this is a different issue now, okay? This not in the list of the what? The riba items. I have peanut butter, peanuts oil, and you have corn oil. I say, what, would you give me 1 liter or 1 gallon for 2 gallons of this? If you agree about it, it's fine. Why? Because oil doesn't go under these things. So anyway, the riba is one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is one of the destroyers. That when a person deals with it, okay, will be causing destruction for him in his deen, and for sure, if it's destruction of your deen, will be destruction for your life and the hereafter. What comes after this is saying, serving the wealth of the orphan, eating, tricks, find a way, taking, devouring the property of the orphan. His father died, so who else is going to defend him? Who else is going to watch, you understand, to take care of his property? So now somehow you became his guardian, or you are his uncle, or his whatever, and you found a means and ways, alaykum sallallahu, that you will take advantage of the property of the orphan. This also from the things that cause destruction to the people. Okay? The term orphan, according Islam, is a child that his father passed away and he didn't reach the age of puberty yet. Okay? We did not call an orphan for the somebody that he passed the age of that his young man already, or that his mother died. We did not call this an orphan. Maybe linguistic you can use this, but in Islam, talking about yatim, orphan, a person that his father had passed away. And now about using the riba or taking the property of the orphan does not mean that only dealing with it or eating it, using it by any means. A riba, buying, selling, lending, receiving, witnessing, anything to do with the riba is destruction. Same thing the property of the orphan, utilizing it, selling it, hiding it, stealing it, taking over the house, living in it without paying the rent, you see, whatever, doesn't matter. You could not be have anything to do with the riba. Neither you can utilize the property of the orphan by any means. Does not have to be only taking a dollar, okay? But like I said, somebody will be living using the land of the orphan, and he cultivating and making money out of it. And he's a baby child, he doesn't know anything. And he says the land is still there. When he get big, he will take the 10 acres. But all these years he's been using his land. and he would not even give a money for rent or anything like this. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying about the things that cause destruction for the human being, turning back from the battlefield. Okay, this also one thing of the destroying things to the human being, running away from the battlefield. Due to the time, we don't actually go basically the last thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying and making a false charge, accusation against the chaste but mindful women, i.e. they never even think of anything touching chastity, okay? Accusing the believing women, women who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their body, in their reputation, that a Muslim or go and say something bad about them, okay? This also is very serious thing. And such people who do something like this, if they would not come with a, what you call, reliable witnesses, okay, let's come simple way, reliable witnesses, and it has to be four witnesses, okay, male, and they have to see the act itself, those people will be taken and be lashed 80 lashes, okay. This is very serious matter, you understand? If a person say, oh, the sister I saw here last night, coming to her house 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm telling you, this sister, man, something wrong, she must be, you see? Any accusation, this is very serious, we have to be careful from things, you understand, talking about the believing women, that they are not even thinking or paying attention to something of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about their punishment in Surah An-Nur, okay, verse number 5, and those people who accuse the Muslim women and they did not come with four witnesses, so give them 80 lashes and don't accept their testimony, their shahada, never, and they are fasiq. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Alright? One last thing that we want to say in our chapter today concerning the punishment, and we already mentioned this before, but as I indicate before, this last statement is not authentic, but it is authentic as mawquf, not as a statement being attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the punishment of the sahir, the magician, is to be what? Hit by the sword. The punishment of the person who making magic, magicians, is that to be struck with the sword. Whatever means of killing, we understand that this is his punishment in Islam, and if something so serious like this to be killed, this shows the Muslim how serious it is, such behavior for learning magic or dealing with magic. And it is enough serious matter to be a shirk. Even if the person is not going to be struck by a sword or shot by a gun or to be killed, it is enough serious matter to be a form of shirk. And a Muslim has to avoid all things which is shirk. Inshallah, we're supposed to be more detailed in this chapter, but we're going to stop here. And we recommend it to all the brothers and sisters, inshallah, they go back to Kitab al-Tawheed and read chapter 24 again, and special important issues of the chapter. And inshallah, next week we'll be starting with chapter, a new chapter, which is chapter 25. We have to close now because I think it's time for Maghrib already. Is it? Is it in? 41? Oh. So we close in here and thank you for listening. Jazakumullah khairan. Sorry again, we are not going to be able to entertain any questions because it's not time for Azan, it is the time for Iqama. So please forgive me. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you for listening. May Allah reward you all. And سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك أن الله نزلك.